Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour of Illinois. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an education service to the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on natural disasters when we come back. You know, Charles Lyell is one of the pillars of modern geology. He published his Principles of Geology back in the early 1800s, and it's Lyell's concepts that are so widely accepted today that most people who believe in Lyell's concepts don't even know the name Lyell, the guy that originated them. But it was from Charles Lyell's system of reasoning that a doctrine of origins has been devised by simply projecting all of the natural processes back through time indefinitely. That way, catastrophes like Noah's flood are strictly ruled out. This process is called science. Now listen to this. The sun is shrinking. It's a Newswire report, and they made this surprising statement. It says, the sun's diameter appears to have been decreasing by about 0.1% per century. Scientists have been watching for over 100 years, and the evidence is conclusive. Every hour, the sun is shrinking by about 5 feet. Now, if the sun is shrinking 0.1% per century, then it totals 1% per millennium. If the sun existed only 100,000 years ago, it would have been double its present diameter. Going back 20 million years then, the surface of the sun would be touching the Earth. And as far as researchers can tell, this rate of shrinkage has been consistent since the origin of the sun. Can you remember what our teachers told us about the dinosaurs' extinction? Wasn't that 65 million years ago? But 20 million years ago, the diameter of the sun would be touching the Earth. Hey, boys and girls, we don't need to be rocket scientists to do the math on these kinds of pseudo-scientific lies. And that's just one more of the many examples of evolutionary propaganda that masquerades under the guise of science. And that's one more of the many lessons in my Mosaic Law School that I conduct here in Isabella at the law school twice a year. For more information, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. If you're online, just go to the website georgegordon.org. Click onto the email and send an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about natural disasters. They come in three forms. Remember those three forms? They come as meteorological, that is, they're weather-related disasters like hurricanes and tornadoes. Or they're biologic, they're disease, pestilence, or some kind of a virus. Or they're geologic in nature. They're volcanoes, they're earthquakes, and so on. And these natural disasters are occurring today at 67% greater rate than, and they're not only coming faster, but they're more intense. We're getting more number 4 and 5 intensity hurricanes. We're getting more 8 and 9 magnitude earthquakes, and they're coming a lot closer together. I showed you those statistics and those numbers. And I've gone through 5 programs now, and I showed you that these are not natural. They are caused. They are intentional. They're being done by God himself, and he's ticked off. And I showed you that he's a jealous God, that he acts in fury. He says, I'm going to destroy your high places. I'm going to cast your carcasses upon your idols. I'm going to visit the iniquity of your fathers upon the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. He said, don't you think for a minute that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. And he says, I'm going to tell you to depart from me, you that work iniquity, all you religious jerks. And he says, I'm going to avenge the quarrel of my contract, my covenant. Now, that's a far cry from this namby-pamby God that you hear about. Jesus loves you. I didn't write this, by the way. If you want to write these down, let me run through them again. He says, I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy to the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. That's in Exodus 20, verse 5. In Leviticus 26, verses 25 through 30, he says, I'm going to avenge the quarrel of my contract in fury. I'm going to punish you 7 times more for your sins. I'm going to destroy your high places and cast your carcasses upon your idols. And I'm going to visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, he said in Exodus 20, verse 5. The children get punished for the violations of you when you violate the law. So going back to the earthquake up there in Pakistan, remember the little kid that they found down here inside the school? The lucky one. I mean, these little children died by the thousands in these schools, and we call them the innocent little children. Yeah. The children may have been innocent, but their fathers weren't, and the penalty that fell upon those children was caused by those fathers. Let me show you why. First of all, it's against the law to send those children to public school to start with. Did you know that, boys and girls? It's a law here in the scripture. So when we get down here to education, public school, did you know that Deuteronomy 4, verses 9 and 10, God requires that you educate your children to this law? And you send them to public school and you educate them to the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, not to the 10 commandments. And you're educating your children in sex education and teaching your children to practice licentious sexual behaviors and alternative lifestyles, which is specifically prohibited in the scripture. Did you know that? Now that's here in the United States. That's why God told you to educate your kid. You should be educating your child in your own home school. So when those fathers and mothers sent their children off to the government schools there in Pakistan, and then those government schools fell down and killed their children, those children, the innocent little victims who hadn't sinned, well, they hadn't intentionally sinned, didn't know what they were doing, were punished for the sins of their fathers. Now get real mad. Jump up and down, throw yourself on the floor into an apoplectic rage, why don't you? And then see if you're going to change any of this. I didn't make it this way. I'm just here to report it to you. Now, on the other hand, had you educated your child at home, had you obeyed God and kept His commandments, you were entitled to an angel to protect that child and to protect you. Notice not everybody is killed in these earthquakes and these natural disasters. And sometimes guilty, dirty, no good, low down scallywags survive, and people that we would say were probably pretty righteous and good people. I mean, I thought Rock Hudson was a pretty righteous and good people until I found out he was a sodomite. And I said, oh, he got AIDS and he died because he was a sodomite. See, you got people out here that get real excited about sodomites. You don't need to get very excited about them. They're all going to kill themselves. The tragedy is that before they kill themselves, they're going to pervert your sons and daughters into the same lifestyle that they are experiencing and kill your sons and daughters in the same way. You should be educating your sons and your daughters to sodomy and lesbianism so that they will not violate that law. Because if they do, they will surely die. And if you do, you will surely die. And the question arises, well, how are you going to die? People die in a variety of ways. Old John D. Rockefeller was one of the most wicked, evil people that God ever put breath into. He died when he was 90-something. He was 97 or 92. And then there's some pretty good guys. Old Bob Hope, I thought, was a pretty good guy. He lived to be 100. One of the blessings that you're entitled to is long life. I will fulfill all of your days, 25,550. You'll live at least your average, which is 70 years. 80 if you're strong. And some people live to be 90 or 100. Typically, when you find somebody that lives to be 100, he's a pretty good guy. But once in a while, you'll find a guy that's pretty wicked and evil, and he lives to be 100. I think Satan has a little something to do with that. He rewards his servants in the same way that God rewards his servants. And when I use the word God, I want to emphasize that there are lots of gods out there. I don't know how many, but there's 100 anyway. I got a yellow book up here on my shelf, and it identifies many of them. You know, like Bibble and Zeus and Moonday and Tuesday and Thor's Day and Saturn's Day and Sunday and Jupiter's Day. I mean, God, there's just gobs and gobs and gobs of these gods out here. Now, there is an unusual God. The Apostle Paul called him the unknown God. He was talking to a bunch of skeptics and Gnostics up on a place called Mars Hill. I think he was over in Greece at the time. And he went up there and he said, now, you people have lots of gods here, and you're a very religious bunch of people, no doubt about it. And he said, I want to come here and talk to you about God, but a different God, a God that you've never heard of. And he said, you people have a monument, just in case you might have forgot some God and you didn't want to slight him. You've got a monument over here to the unknown God. He said, that's the one that I want to declare to you today. I want to come and tell you about this guy. That's why I mentioned to you that this God over here that I'm talking about from the Bible, you probably never heard of him. Nobody ever reads the Bible. You read catechisms and you read religious books written by religious people about religious people who write about religious people, but you don't read very much about God. And I told you that this God is a jealous God. You get out here and you start worshiping Allah and Zeus and these other gods, and he says, you know, I'm going to come unhinged. He says, I'm going to avenge the quarrel of my covenant. I got a contract with you people, and you're in breach of contract, and I'm going to exact the penal clause. And he says, in fury, seven times more for your sins. Your sins are the transgressions of our agreement on our contract, and this contract inures to the heirs and assigns forever. And I mentioned the other day to you, I don't know how long forever is, but I do know that it isn't up yet. It ain't up yet. And you and I, boys and girls, are under the terms and conditions of this contract. And remember, sweet Jesus? Sweet Jesus, over Matthew 5:17, sweet Jesus said, don't you think for a minute that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. I didn't come to destroy, I came to fulfill. And so Christians tell you today, yeah, Jesus came and he abolished the law. He nailed it to the cross with Jesus. He took that old nasty law that says thou shalt not commit adultery, nailed it to the cross, and now we can go out and bang our neighbor's wife, and it's a good thing to do, and go to heaven doing it. But in Matthew 7, verse 22, he gave us a stark warning, all you religious guys out there. So if you're one of these religious guys, pay attention. Of course, if you're irreligious, sit back and relax. Verse 21, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? And he said, quote, verse 23, I'm going to profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You iniquity workers. Well, iniquity is simply an old English King James word for lawlessness, crime, criminal activity. So we're really dealing with two laws here. You got the law of God. He says, don't mingle your seed. Remember, we covered that last program. And then we got Monsanto says, no, God made a mistake. We're not only going to mingle the seed, we're not only going to hybridize the seed, we're going to gene splice it. God said, you let your land rest once every 7 years. Monsanto, the Department of Agriculture, and the University of California say, no, no, we're not going to let that land rest once every 7 years. We're going to use chemical fertilizers. We're going to use DDT and chemical sprays to control the insects. We're going to make an extra 15%. So George comes along and says, well, you know, boys and girls, you got to make a choice here. Now, for most Americans, we've made our choice. And those choices that we've made are coming back now and biting us in the ass, and we're wondering why. That Katrina hurricane bit us in the ass. There's not a mystery about Katrina. It has God Almighty's fingerprints all over the crime scene. That earthquake over in Pakistan has his fingerprints all over the crime scene. In Leviticus chapter 26, you'll see the personal pronoun I 20 times. 20 times the personal pronoun I. And he says, if you don't practice my law, here's what I'm going to do to you. Read them and weep. That's what they tell you down the card room. You know, the dealer's dealing out the cards, and when you pick them up, he says, read them and weep. Place your bets. Now, that's the way that game is played. I saw one of these religious guys down here, a sky pilot, down in Mississippi, I think it was Biloxi, in the wreckage of his church down there, and he said, God just has ways that are beyond our knowing. We just can't figure out why God does these things. Why that nitwit's got his head so far up his rectal region, he'll never see daylight for the rest of his life. Leviticus 26 told you plainly, boys and girls, why Biloxi was destroyed. See those six casinos that you got sitting out there in the bay? Come on, boys and girls, let's wake up. New Orleans, you know that Mardi Gras you got going on down here? That witchcraft that you people practice? Now, you people down there on the Gulf Coast, you're not practicing the law of this God. Now, I'm not saying you're not religious and you don't go to church every Sunday and you ain't practicing the law of your God and the law of your church. What I'm saying is that your God wasn't powerful enough to protect you from Hurricane Katrina. Now, if you think that that was a good experience and you'd like to have another Hurricane Katrina come, well, you just get after it. But a hurricane is not rain in due season. That's not a blessing. That's a curse. That's a kick in the ass. And it's time to wake up to reality, smell the coffee, and figure out, boys and girls, we just got an ass kicking, and it's time to change. Don't you think? Time to change. My old daddy, he was a pretty good old boy. Today, of course, they'd call him a child abuser, and they'd call me. The reason that I'm like I am is because I was abused as a child. Of course, we didn't know that back when I was a kid. We didn't know what child abuse was. Never heard of such a thing. We used to say, yes, sir, and no, sir. When my dad said sit down, it was yes, sir. We didn't know anything about the Fourth Amendment. We didn't know anything about Bill of Rights. Well, Dad over there was God, and when he spoke, you just trembled in fear and followed instructions. And if you didn't, it was going to hurt so bad that you wouldn't do that twice. Well, unless your brain did or something. I mean, I saw kids, you know, that they'd do that a few times. The old man slapped me up alongside the head, and they couldn't learn. I was a very precocious kid. Boy, you slapped me up alongside the head. Boy, I could figure that out in short order. Don't do that again. In fact, my old daddy, he had a special look, you know, and I was sitting at the table. And when my dad looked at me, he could look at me and he'd kind of smile, you know, like that good boy, little Georgie, good boy, little Georgie. I mean, he didn't have to reach out and pat me on my little head. He had that look. That means that everything is going good and I'm doing a good job here. And then he had that special look, that look that said, you know, you're getting real close to going out to the car. And going out to the car meant that I was going to leave the table. I was going out to the car with my daddy, and there was going to be pain, suffering, weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. They used to call that discipline. When I was a kid today, they call it child abuse. Well, anyway, I learned how to sit down, shut up, and do what I was told. Now, we find here in the Bible that there is a systematic methodology behind what this God is doing and what we see going on in what we call natural catastrophes. And time after time after time, in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, he tells us what he's going to do. He says he's going to send drought. You guys out in the West, have you got any drought going on out there? Can you guys remember back to the drought years of the 1930s? You know, that was a punishment that came down on us in the 1930s. The Civil War was a punishment that came down upon us. World War I and World War II are punishments. Those aren't blessings. This war over in Iraq, you know, that's not a blessing, that's a curse. Getting your buildings knocked down and getting your teeth knocked out, those are not good experiences. It doesn't take you very long to wake up to that when you're out on the street. Some guy comes up to you and busts you in the mouth, you know, right away you can figure out, hey, that guy ain't my friend. Some guy flies one of your airplanes into one of your buildings and knocks it down, you can figure out right away that guy ain't one of my buddies. Now we got to ask questions like, well, why are our enemies doing that to us? You know, God said, I will make your enemies to be at peace with you. I don't know if you're aware of this. This God ain't all nasty. He's got some pretty good lines in here. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 58, just to show you that this guy ain't all bad. In Isaiah 58, he gives you a benefit here. It says, if I find it here, just bear with me. Remember, you're dealing with a plumber here. You ain't dealing with a real live, honest to God, seminary-trained preacher. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. He says, listen to this. Pay attention now. He says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and if you call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the eternal, honorable, and if you honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then shall you delight yourself in the eternal, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Eternal hath spoken it. Do you know what the heritage of Jacob is? Jacob was filthy rich. He was obscenely wealthy. By today's standards, as we compare wealth, he was filthy rich. And God says, I will feed you with that heritage. What do you have to do to get filthy rich? You have to practice the Sabbath. Sabbath. Not Friday, not Sunday. Not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, the Sabbath. It's on Saturday. Somebody says, why, that's what them damn Jews do. My God, boys and girls, did it ever occur to you that maybe them Jews could be right on just one thing? Once, just one time? Maybe they got something right? I know, it's a wild new thought, but I don't know if those Jews keep the Sabbath, but they observe it on Saturday. That's the right day of the week. Now, to keep the Sabbath, there are seven elements to keeping the Sabbath, seven things that you have to do. And one of them is right here in Isaiah 58. He says, if you'll turn your foot away from my Sabbath, don't do your own pleasure on my Sabbath. If you will stay away from the damn football games on TV on Saturday afternoon, if you shut your damn mouth from doing your own business deals on Saturday afternoon and delight in my Sabbath, notice it's my Sabbath, not the Jews' Sabbath. It's mine. It's my holy day. I didn't say that. I'm just repeating what he told you. So this is my holy day. You get off your business deals and shut off the TV, pay attention to my laws and my Sabbath, and I'll make you filthy rich. Want to make some money? Pay attention. Smell the coffee. Wake up. Now, people are suffering from Hurricane Katrina, and I empathize with you. I mean, I can see your suffering down there on the 6 o'clock news, and I feel for you. Now, I want to tell you that you people are not innocent. You people have not been practicing the Sabbath. You people have been violating a lot of laws for a long time, and it finally caught up with you. And we're not going to get away with it up here in Missouri either, because we have to pay you people to rebuild your houses. I'd just soon just send you the money and let you rebuild your own house, but George Bush said that he isn't going to have any part of that. He's going to spend whatever it's going to take. So he's going to tax me and everybody else and spend three times as much money as it would cost to rebuild your house, rebuilding your houses through FEMA and Halliburton and all these government corporations, so that it costs us a hell of a lot more. Donald Trump kind of hit the nail on the head. He said that the government, if they rebuild New Orleans, they're going to spend twice as much and do it half as well. I think he's right. They're going to spend twice as much and do it half as well. That's been the experience that I've observed over my lifetime, just watching government do anything. It always costs twice as much, and they don't do it half as well. So Donald Trump hit the nail right on the head. Now, you know, AIDS is totally preventable. Let's just take a look at a couple of disasters that are going around. AIDS, a pandemic, killed 40 million people. 40 million people have AIDS, and it is spreading around the world. It's killing people. It's almost 100% fatal. Not quite, but almost. What causes AIDS? Well, over in Africa, some guy's got AIDS, and he wants to cure it. So he goes out, and he rapes an 11-year-old girl who's a virgin with the belief that if he has sexual relations with a virgin, it'll cure his AIDS. Well, that's almost as good as a witch doctor in the middle of the Ituri rainforest of the Belgian Congo, isn't it? I mean, that's the medical practices of a lunatic. But hey, listen, millions of people believe that. And so what happens is it doesn't cure the AIDS of the AIDS packer, but it gives AIDS to the 11-year-old virgin. This is called paganism in the Bible. These are the pagan nations around us. Now that's Africa. We over here in the United States have a sodomite community, and so what they're telling us over here is use condoms. Don't stop practicing sodomy. Continue with the sodomy, we are told by our Surgeon General. But practice safe sex. Go ahead and practice perverted sex, but practice perverted sex in a safe way with condoms. That'll help promote the pharmaceutical industry. On the other hand, your God, your Creator, told you, you take those sodomites out and stone them to death and don't practice that. There shall not be a sodomite of the sons of Israel. So here on the one hand, you got a choice. God says, don't practice sodomy. Those people who don't practice sodomy won't get AIDS. Now somebody's going to come along and say, why, that's not true. Why, there's just lots of people out there that get AIDS and they get it from blood transfusions. Okay, let's talk about blood. Did you know that blood transfusions are against the law? Did you know that there's a law that says you shall eat no manner of fat or blood? Blood, it's against the law to eat blood. Well, it's true. We Americans don't eat it. We mainline it. We don't eat blood here in this country. We stick it into our arms and run it right up our veins. And of course, we get hepatitis. We get AIDS. We get a whole host and plethora of parasites and other things that come out of blood. And we wonder, gosh, I wonder why that's happening. I just can't imagine. And that's because you're practicing modern medical science. Let me read you a little story here. It says, disasters research. Scientists stand united against natural disasters. Did you hear that? Scientists stand united against natural disasters. Boys and girls, I think I have made my case, made my point. These natural disasters are the results of God Almighty kicking your ass for violating His law. And now, in this research paper, it says, scientists stand united against natural disasters that are brought by God to punish you for violating His law. I got to tell you a little story here. One time, I had a little brother. And I call him a kid brother. You know, he's about, I don't know, 10, 11 years younger than I was. And I was a teenager at the time. And this little brother of mine, he'd done something wrong. I don't remember what it was. But he actually didn't do it. He's innocent. And old dad got after him, and he's going to whip him. And so to prevent my dad from whipping my brother, who I happen to know was innocent because I was the one that was guilty. See, and my brother, he didn't do it, but I did do it. And so I was going to protect my brother. So I grabbed my dad's arm as he was about to whip my little brother over there. I grabbed my dad's arm. I said, no, Dad, no. I only did that once. I told you I was a very precocious kid. My dad turned away from my baby brother, and he lit into me, and he just beat me within an inch of my life. And he said to me, words of, you know, I'm an old man now. My daddy's been dead for 20 years, 30 years, 35 years. And I can remember it as if it happened yesterday. He said, don't you ever interfere with me again. Don't you ever interfere with me again. Now, I take a look at this punishment going on down here with Hurricane Katrina, and I take a look at this hurricane over here on this tidal wave, and then I watch these scientists over here. Scientists stand united against natural disasters. We'll come back and take a look at that right after this reminder. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Gordon Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and you can access it through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, economics, history, health, news, and current events 7 days a week. And the Law Hour offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package to order yours. Please call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember our website, georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about natural disasters, and natural disasters have not been lost on the scientific community or the political establishment. They can recognize that these natural disasters cost a lot of money. tear up a lot of infrastructure, and they want to do something about it. Well, an international science body is calling for a rethink of the way science and society deals with natural disasters. The call comes hot on the tail of possibly one of the worst 12 months on record for natural disasters around the world, from floods and hurricanes to earthquakes and plagues. So in response to a world where natural disasters are increasingly disrupting nations, rich and poor, the International Council for Science ratified this month a new initiative aimed at using science to prevent natural hazards from becoming the catastrophic events all too graphically demonstrated by the likes of the Asian tsunami, the U.S. hurricanes, Bangladesh, and the Indian floods and the earthquake in Kashmir. My God, let me put brackets around that paragraph. Well, that's a mouthful. Now, let's assume that my theory is correct and that the earthquake in Kashmir is caused by God. That God, because he's ticked off at Allah, because he's a jealous God, is going to punish those Muslims over there in fury because they won't practice his law, including all of the innocent little children who he said he's going to punish to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So he equates then those Muslims up in the mountains of Pakistan as those that hate him. Not my words. I'm just citing it from the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, which I can readily understand why most of you people hate them, because you've banned them from your public school and you don't want to hear this. Best way to do that is just turn the dial on your radio and shut it off. Nobody wants you to hear something that you don't want to hear. Can't teach an old dog that don't want to learn, then. Let's suppose, for the sake of our discussion, Hurricane Katrina is for the express purpose of punishing you people down there for your criminal behavior. Scientists come along and say, we're going to grab a hold of old dad's arm and say, no, no, God, you're making a mistake here. Punishing the good people of New Orleans and Biloxi, punishing these good Muslim people in Pakistan is wrong. They're innocent. No, stop, don't. You ever wonder what God might do to you if you got in his way? Kind of crossed my mind a time or two since I had that similar experience with my daddy. My daddy kind of told me in no uncertain terms, don't butt into my affairs. I may be wrong, but don't you correct me. Now, the people, you know, feel pretty bad. You know, you see somebody hurting over here, and you just have a natural inclination to want to go over and help that guy. And now the aid organizations are telling us that people are starting to suffer from disaster burnout. We responded to the Indian Ocean tidal wave, and we gave a lot of money to those poor folks over there because we felt real bad about it. Felt real bad for them. We empathized with them. We said, oh my God, if that would have happened to me, then it might happen to you. It probably is going to happen to you. About one third of all the people that live on this planet, every decade, every 10 years, one third of us are going to be subjected to those kinds of natural disasters. And we're going to be subjected to them because of our sins, because of our criminal behavior. And science comes along and says, all right, you just keep on with your criminal behavior, and we'll step in, and we will stop old dad from whipping you. Honest to God, boys and girls, do you think that's going to work? Do you think science can save you out of the hand of the living God? In fact, God asks that very question. He says, who is going to save you out of my hand? My old dad might have said that. He said, honest to God, Georgie, do you think that I'm so weak and impotent that I can't control you? Do you think that you can live your life in this household and just do as you damn well please? He used those terms. He says, you think you're just going to come in here and do as you damn well please? You know, when you get to be a teenager, you get a little rambunctious and you get a little uppity. And old dad just tells me, he says, you know, it's about time I brought you back down to earth. You're out here flying around in space someplace. That's why we call people space cases. They get to flying around in space. They need to bring them back down to earth, straighten them out. And mankind, boys and girls, is on the cusp now of getting straightened out. And this straightening out process is going to be a tough way to learn. You got two ways to learn. You can learn by other people's mistakes. You can take a look at those people over in Thailand and in Indonesia, look at their lifestyle, look at the way they're living, look at the punishment and the penalties that they're going through, and then ask yourself, do I want to go through the same thing? And if you want to have an earthquake, if you want to have a tidal wave, if you want to have a hurricane, if you want to be punished, why don't you live the same lifestyle that those people down in New Orleans and Biloxi and Pakistan and Indonesia are living? Just go ahead and live just exactly the way they're living, do exactly the same things that they're doing, and see if you can't get exactly the same results that they're getting. If that's what you want, boy, that's the way to do it. I've told you a couple of times here about the Irwin Schiff. I get calls in here once in a while, tax protesters, you know, they call and they say, well, I've been following the Irwin Schiff program. Now, I think Irwin Schiff, if I remember right, was just sentenced to life imprisonment the other day. I think I saw that, some news report. Irwin Schiff, sentenced to life in prison. If you want to go to prison, if you want to go to prison for life, follow the Irwin Schiff program. Don't let me get in the way. I took a look at that program years ago and said, no, that's not the results that I want. Little Georgie Gordon doesn't want that kind of result. I think I'll live my life a little differently. So I got the result that I want, and I'm sure that Irwin got the life that he wanted, got the results that he wanted. If you, and for you, the average Joe six-pack, which lifestyle do you want to follow? Now, I think I've showed you here that these natural disasters ain't natural. The way the God designed this is rain in due season, no earthquakes, no sickness, no disease. He said, I've got a law here. You follow my law. You forget about the law of George Bush and the neocons. You forget about Congress. You forget about your state legislature. You practice my law. Forget about the law of Germany and Italy and the European common market. You practice my law, and this is the result that you're going to get. Now, if you people want to practice the law of Italy and Germany and the law of the United States and the law of Florida and California, Washington, and Oregon, that's a choice that you have to make. Now, that's what you've been doing now for the last 50, 75 years of your life. Now, take a look at your results and ask yourself, is that what I want? You want to rely upon FEMA, or do you want to rely upon the God of Abraham? That's the choice. Now, when I see this paragraph and these scientists over here say, by God, you know, we're going to interfere with God. We're going to interfere with these hurricanes. Now, they go on to say, it's time to change the mindset that natural disasters are inevitable, said Gordon McBean of the Institute for Catastrophic Loss Reduction at the University of Western Ontario, Canada. He's the head of the ICSU Scaping or Scoping Group on Human-Induced Environmental Hazards. Whoo! Did you hear it? Did you see it? Human-Induced Environmental Hazards. Yeah, that's about right. You know, we human beings induce a lot of hazards, and lifestyle has a lot to do with it. You want an AIDS plague? Hey, you want a flu? You want a Spanish flu? You want an avian flu? Well, there's a way for you to do it. Why don't you eat mingled seed? Why don't you eat food that is manufactured by Monsanto? Why don't you get your health out of the Food and Drug Administration? Why don't you get shot up with flu vaccine and see if we can't enhance your chances of getting Alzheimer's disease? You know, these are fools, and then they're described that way. I got to read you a little story over here. The Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 1, he had a little story to tell about these guys with letters after their names. Listen to this. Romans chapter 1, talking about these philosophers. He said in verse 18, he said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, or hold back the truth of God in unrighteousness. I might paraphrase that, by those jerks that threw the Ten Commandments and the Bible and God out of the public schools. Verse 19, he said, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. They're not ignorant. Those professors and scientists, they know they didn't evolve from green algae. They know there's a God. They know there's a cause and effect relationship going on around them. But they teach evolutionary philosophy to your children because that's the way to make money. Verse 20 says, for the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They have pieces of paper that they paste up on their walls, pronouncing themselves to be wise. And they pass out pieces of paper to people, and they say, oh, you're very wise. Let me give you your graduation certificate. Let me give you your diploma. God, you're a scientist now. You're a doctor. Yeah, but unfortunately, these doctors and scientists, they can't protect you from Ebola. They can't do anything about the flu, bubonic plague. They haven't got a cure for a single disease, not one. What they've got is a lot of treatments, cost you a lot of money. And we got a Roto-Rooter job, we got a bypass, we got real technology here. We can give you a heart transplant. We can give you somebody else's heart. Of course, that guy has to die in order for you to get his heart. I don't know, boys and girls. Seems like to me that if all of us would obey God, we could all keep our hearts and live to be 70. Now, it's appointed to all of us to die once. I mean, I'm not getting out of here alive. I'm not out of touch with reality. I just want to leave last. I want to be the last guy off the train. I want to ride the train. I want to be the last guy off. I'm getting off like everybody else, but I want to get off last. I've witnessed a lot of guys getting off early on. Those guys down there in Hurricane Katrina, you know, 1,000 of them died. Now, that's nothing. That Hurricane Katrina, boys and girls, is a wake-up call. That's just God down there telling you, boys and girls, it's time for you to wake up and smell the roses, because what's coming is going to get really nasty. And I'm of the opinion that we're going to see death and destruction in this country like we've never dreamed of or imagined before. That's why I suggest to you, you know, maybe it's time to leave the seacoast. You know, maybe if you sold your house, you know, before it gets destroyed, you know, down in Miami, maybe you sold your house in Miami and moved up to the mountains. That's what the Messiah told you. He said, no, it's time for you maybe to move to the mountains. You want to pray that your flight be not in the wintertime. Instead of being a refugee, why don't you get the hell out of Dodge before refugee status comes upon you? That's what I did years ago. I got the hell out of San Francisco. But there's more to the story. He goes on and he says, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's sodomy. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and then worshipped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Today, we worship Mother Earth. We worship the environment. Global warming. Kyoto Accords, the United Nations, FEMA. These are our saviors. These are our gods. These are the gods that will protect us from the hurricanes and the volcanoes and the earthquakes. I say we've taken leave of our senses, gone berserk, out of our cotton-picking minds. You're going to stop Katrina, are you? You're going to stop an earthquake? You're going to stop a volcano? Well, that's what these scientists are telling you. Scientists stand united against natural disasters. We stand united against Hurricane Katrina. We're not going to put up with this crap. We're going to get out here and do something. We're going to stop this. It's like pissing into the wind. But there's more to this. This is Romans chapter 1. He said, wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Men with men, and women with women, doing those things which are unseemly. And for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat, called AIDS, herpes, and VD. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. Let me back up here a little bit. Implacable and unmerciful. And have you seen what they're doing to those prisoners down in Guantanamo Bay? How they kidnap people off the streets of Italy, transport them in jet aircraft to countries like the Middle East. It was Egypt was one of them, and Jordan was another, where they torture those people by putting their arms into boiling oil. That's being done by the United States. And then when the Senate voted 98-2, wasn't it? Or was it 92-8? To abolish torture as a public policy in the United States, our Vice President Dick Cheney opposed it. That's unmerciful. How about these haters of God? Remember what God said in Exodus 20, verse 5? Those that don't practice my law hate me. They're despiteful and they're proud. Proud? Scientists stand against natural disasters. God, you talk about pride now. Full of envy, murder, debate. Debate? Isn't that what politics is all about? Debate? Deceit? Isn't that what politics is all about? Lying to us about weapons of mass destruction? And then we sit over here and say, well, my God, these people down in Biloxi, they were just innocent bystanders. And God came along and he sent this terrible hurricane and wiped them out. Excuse me, boys and girls, but aren't you people down in Biloxi and New Orleans, aren't you the same people that tolerate sodomy in this country by a margin of 65 to 35? I mean, aren't those the numbers I see? Aren't 65% of you people down there on the Gulf Coast live and let live people? Aren't you people down on the Gulf Coast the same people that send your children to public school and sex education class to teach your 14-year-old daughters to be whores and your 15-year-old sons to be sodomites, practicing an alternative lifestyle? Aren't you people down on the Gulf Coast the same people that threw the Ten Commandments and the Bible and God Almighty out of your public schools and you sit there and say, I'm innocent? Well, just telling you like it is, boys and girls. I don't think we're as innocent as we'd like to think we are. And we don't like to face reality and say, yeah, that hurricane came because of our sin and our wickedness, and it's time for us to clean up our act. So our preachers, they come into the pulpits, you know, these pulpit parrots, and they say, well, you just can't understand God. You know, you just can't understand what God's doing here. You know, his ways are just higher than our ways. Hey, maybe that's true for all these gods out here. Maybe Sunday and Moon Day and Tuesday and Woden's Day and Thor's Day. Yeah, maybe those gods have ways that are just so damn high and mighty, we just can't figure it out. But this God of the Bible, now, this guy ain't near as hard to figure out, as you're alleging here. He tells you pretty damn plain. He says, hey, boys and girls, you give me the finger and watch what happens next. Of course, I wouldn't tell you to go out and give your daddy the finger today, because your daddy probably wouldn't know what the finger meant. But I'll tell you this, when I was a kid, and your old man told you to sit down and shut up, you said, yes, sir. And if you got lippy with him, he'd slap you up alongside the head, knock your ass off your hind end with his belt, you know, with about 10 or 12 whacks. And there used to be a time here in America, you know, when people understood right and wrong, understood wickedness and evil, understood righteousness, understood the Ten Commandments, understood that adultery was wrong, that sodomy was wrong. We still sent our kids to the public school, but then we weren't teaching them alternative lifestyles in 1950 either. Now, I don't think we're as innocent as we thought we were. Now, next time, I'm going to show you with specificity some violations of law, and I'm going to give you the exact citations. You'll check them out and see if I'm lying to you. And I'll show you that I don't think you're as innocent as you think you are. And these 133 laws are a whole lot easier to practice than those 2.5 million laws that the Congress of the United States and your state legislatures have saddled you with. A whole lot easier, and they've got better benefits, and they pay a lot better. There's better dividends that come from thou shalt not commit adultery than from sex education in public school to teach your sons and daughters to be whores and alternative lifestyles and sodomites. And I'll show you that next time, right here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're out of time. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. Remember that the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, just go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that's open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on a compact disc. 8 schools on compact disc. For more information, go to the homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in public interest. Time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.